Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
This is Doug Llewellyn, and welcome back. Nice to have you with us today. And we are excited because Jean-Francois Morin of Expand is back with us today. He was with us, as you know, a week or so ago, and he represents a company called Expand, which and his office, they're located really around the world almost. His office is in Quebec, in Canada, and it's a fascinating story. Expand is an international consulting, coaching, and training consortium that specializes in helping organizations and their people find their calling and reach their full potential. And Jean-Francois Morin leads Expand in Canada. As he points out, Expand and the world, by the way, is changing, and they have to be fit. We have to be fit to adapt. So whenever an organization is on the spectrum, they help it grow to the next level. They have extraordinary kind of services they provide for companies, subject to dealing with transitions, resilience, a big one, coaching, executive coaching. They do all things like that. And Expand, by the way, is a number of organizations. They work with more than 50,000 individuals in 20 different countries in the last 31 years. They have 12 offices today, located in Europe, South Africa, and Canada, which is one of the latest to come into the wider Expand organization. And they work with corporate clients. And this would include automotive, pharmaceutical, insurance, banking, financial services, like that, as well as family-owned businesses, healthcare organizations, government offices, development aid organizations, and churches. This is not the typical business model where there's a center. Expand is a loose organization. And the executives meet on a regular basis. They work together. They exchange ideas together. But they don't have what you would consider to be a consolidated business expansion plan. As I understand it, they share a common knowledge base, and what they do is similar in each country where they're located. They share values and processes, but each country organization is responsible for its own growth and management. And they're not a large organization. There are about 125 people that are involved in Expand. And if you heard the conversation last week, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But we're going to go into this again. We're welcoming back Jean-Francois Morin, who runs Expand in Canada. And Jean-Francois, it's nice to have you back with us. How are you today? Good morning.
Oh, hi, Doug. It's great to be back. I'm fine. Thank you so much.
Sorry, we had that little technical glitch there in the morning, but a little while ago, but we're off and running now. You know, you left off last week when you were talking about, we were talking about qualities that executives should have and what you think they need to do, executives of companies need to do to give quality to their performance and to the company and to help the company grow. Let's expand on that a little bit about it, because I don't think you got into it quite, you know, as deeply as you wanted to. Tell me a little bit about that aspect of what Expand does. How about that?
Sure, sure. Well, just a little perspective right off the bat, so to speak. We're into growing organizations and people and make them futurable, make them future fit executives, future fit companies. And we described the world as being VUCA the last time, you know, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. We talked a bit about the risks that are that come with this environment. And when we left off, I was just about to elaborate more on the qualities or competencies that are specific to executives and CEOs in this particular context. And I had just quickly mentioned the ability to master complexity, to make sure that we integrate a diversity of perspectives in an organization. And that allows securing the success of the organization, because you have to have an input, the broadest input as possible. And you have to be able to redefine your mandate in your organization and ensure that your reactions are flexible and adapted in this constantly changing world and market. And the second quality of a top-level executive is to be able to orchestrate creativity, doing the orchestrating of all that power that is in the organization, to create structures that enable the organization to really generate truly innovating ideas in an optimal way, and you know, to validate these ideas, to strengthen them, to finally being able to implement them. So you need to be chef d'orchestre, the orchestrating force behind this. So that's the drive to find fundamentally new answers to known and, you know, sometimes less known questions. You have to be comfortable with doing this. And
explain to me how you work, how you do this. You work with executives. I know you do executive coaching. You coach with them. But what happens? Does Expand have a contract, so to speak, with an organization that you go in to help? And then it's when you build that relationship with them, you explore these various areas, like the qualities that the executives need, and help guide them. Is that the way it works?
Exactly, you got it. We have a basic understanding as to what we're going to do. Of course, there's a contract. As I was mentioning the last time, we do the 20-mile march with them. We accompany them in their process. And we always start in reality, as I had mentioned as well. And starting in reality is just making sure that you check your reality in terms of history. You have to find out where your organization comes from, where it's going. You have to check what's your structure, your in terms of the dimensions that I mentioned the last time, you know, customer orientation, strategy, people, and so on and so forth. And in checking reality, our processes revolve around scans. We do scans. So when we work with an executive, bringing the person to the next level of leadership, and we look at all these qualities that I was mentioning, mastering complexity, orchestrating creativity. We verify exactly where they are in terms of, like, I think, for instance, mastering complexity. You know, that implies having a clear understanding of market trends. So where are they in their ability to have that view of what's going on in the market? Another element of that we check with the CEOs and the top-level executives, you know, thinking in complex systems, you know, being able to really fully understand these systems and renew them. So we check that. Where are they in this aptitude, this capacity? Another element regarding mastering complexity would be, how are they doing in terms of creative thinking and making innovative solutions? There are ways and questions, and so we build scans. And based on these scans, we help the individual draw up a development plan, their own specific individual development plan. And we help in making sure that it's going to be effective, that it's going to work over a certain period of time. Usually we have a year time frame for that. And when the need arises to, you know, transform yourself and be someone different and make things in a way which you're not accustomed to do, then the coaching comes in terms of systemic coaching, you know, the traditional systemic coaching of helping people grow, which always revolves around reality and real situations as well. So in essence, that's how we work with people.
Explain to me why a company, or at what point a company brings you on board. Do they realize they need some help? and that the kind of services you provide is exactly what they need, and they come to you and say, look, we want to enter into an agreement with you to help guide us and in all of these various areas that you provide expertise. Is that how that works? Would that be a kind of accurate or what?
Yes, although we don't advertise, and we go about our way in developing basically through word of mouth, if I may say. So one reason why we're not a large organization is that we grow from referrals from one organization to another and so on and so forth. And that's how Expand came to be in Canada, actually, because someone over here had heard about the results that organizations had over in Europe. And Expand was invited to come over here and provide training which I was a part of, and that led me to start. And so it's more of an organic growth, so to speak. So people hear about us, we have conversations with them, we try to see if there's a fit, if we would actually be in a position to answer their need, if they're ready to move on to a notion of going from step by step, level by level, to a higher capacity of realization. So there's a number of elements that have to be there, you know, in order for us to have a fit with the clients. So that explains to a large extent why we're the sort of organization we are right now.
Well, you know, I'm looking at where Expand is located, and the list is really very impressive. I mean, you have offices, I guess, in Austria, France, Germany, Hungary, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Spain, South Africa, Norway, the United Kingdom, and Canada. When you put all of this together, I guess you're getting input then from people in countries all around the world, which I guess everybody benefits from swapping information from all of these various offices. Is that right?
Exactly. We being in the UK and being in the rest of Europe and in the other places, we have an organizational understanding I was explaining about the spectrum where organizations are. And, you know, there are basically two ways to go about in building an organization. If we look at what happens in hindsight, we can decipher what we call an Anglo-American model and a North European model. And in Europe, we work more with the North European model. The basic difference between an Anglo-American approach and a North European approach is how you actually have your leadership going and how you steer your organization. So in the Anglo-American world, it's more like top-down processes and formal structures and pyramid hierarchies. And in the Northern European model, you would have more of the self-organization, organizing teams. And there's a little more room left to, where the Anglo-American would have information and they would design information systems to have an ongoing insight and all of the processes. They would measure everything and everyone to be able to direct. And the behavior revolves around the discipline, and there's reward and punishment. Which is a fine model, by the way, that delivers results. There's no doubt about that. But Europeans tend more to let inspiration in, and to have people grow from being apprentices to professionals to masters and to artists, as I was mentioning last time. In order to inspire, to be inspiring leaders, so the whole company grows in excellence and customer inspiration. There's a shared spirit and a shared culture. There's a bit of more trust, and the behavior then is more like, you know, building your own self-responsibility as professionals and people and managers and getting this commitment to excellence. So you're right in saying that being spread out in all these countries, we share in what we find out in working with our clients. So and every now and then we meet, and it helps us move forward with the models and the processes that we have in being future fit.
Well, let me ask you another question. Number one, when you engage with a company and you're involved in obviously working with their CEOs and their executives as well as their staff, is it just someone like you from and you're based in Quebec? I know you work in all of Canada, or do people from different parts of the world come and get involved, or is it strictly you're Canada based and it's Canada coaches and things like that work with these companies? I'm trying to get an idea of how you actually work with an organization. How does that happen?
Well, we rely on each other. If there's a mandate from an organization which requires that we're more than one, my colleagues would fly over. And that's how we proceed. We've had people from France and from the Netherlands come over here and help. There are people from the German team who fly over the U.S. every now and then to help with clients. Most of the time, clients which are international, multinational organizations that have offices over in Europe and in North America. So when there's a need, that's how we go about. So we always find a way.
Well, that's a big benefit to them. That's terrific. Talk to me about some of these various categories. Transitions, that's one of the things you work on. Explain that to me. What do you mean by transitions? Define it from your perspective for me.
Okay, well, transitions is basically the process which we call creative life planning. Creative life planning is a seminar where individuals work to have a reading of their past as extensively and as deeply and as truly as possible in order to find out where they come from, what did they learn from their growing process in terms of going through the various crises of their life and professional life. And what did they retain? And so building on that analysis of their talents and their motivational circumstances, and then we help them come up with a set of scenarios which allow them to define what's going to be their direction for the next 5 to 10 years. So we call it transitions on the website, but it's a process that really is 30 years old with our company. And it's a process to bring people up to their next level of challenge. So that's transition. So it helps when people contemplate changing careers, getting to the point where they want to retire or refire, as my colleagues in South Africa say. And really, so, life doesn't stop at age 65. Actually, the best of yourself comes about in the next 20 years after 65. Sometimes people need to sit down and think a bit about that.
And this is a subject that's kind of interesting because I've been talking to a couple of coaches who specialize this, and it's the term resilience. I'm not used to hearing this a lot, but all of a sudden I am. Define for me what resilience means to you and why this is important, and it's something you guys kind of specialize in. Define the term resilience as how you utilize it.
Well, resilience is an analogy from metallurgy. It's the capacity of a steel plate to get back to its original form after it's being bent. So this analogy applies to human life as well. resilience to us is a competence. It's a skill. It's a capacity to deal productively with rejection, contradiction, irritation, change, negative influence, stress. And we've based our expertise regarding resilience, which we've built over the last 15 years, essentially, on a number of research based in a number of countries. Actually, we have research from nine different countries and about a dozen researchers as well. We found out that resilience is something that you can actually train. It's not a quality that you have at birth. It's something that you actually come to better and be more able with. And so it's seven to us. If we boil down all the research to the keys, the essentials of resilience, it's basically seven different competences, which benefit from a number of social resources and structural resources. And these competences, are expressed at the individual level, but also at the organizational level. You can have an individual who has resilience and an organization which is resilient as well. And of course, we would train an individual to develop these competencies, but we would have an organization also grow into with a systemic approach a strategic systemic approach to have a resilience as an organization. These competences are very, very basic and down to earth. First of all, you have to be reconciled with your past. A leader who doesn't recognize, assume, and is not comfortable with her own past is bound to lead people in destruction. You have to be comfortable and reconciled with your past in order to be resilient. You have to develop also what we call a realistic optimism, so being a realist and being an optimist are two different things, of course, but you have to have a mix of the two of these, and that's based on research conducted with survivors of internment camps during the Vietnam War. That's what the research shows. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
You have to have. You have to have also a problem-solving competence. You have to have a level of assertiveness, and you can develop that with playing music, doing sports, playing chess. These are all manners of training this problem-solving competence. If you don't have that, and problems arrive, there's a higher chance that you get stuck. So if you're resilient, you know how to have that.
It's a great subject, obviously. I know there are many lists that you're going through. We're going through. They have pretty quick. I want to ask you a couple of other things. Now, do you do this yourself? I mean, number one, do you service all of Canada? You're based in Quebec. What happens, how does it work?
Well, as you know, my mother tongue is French. As you see now, I speak English as well. So, yes, we work all over. We're growing the team as we're growing the business, and to us, it's for some reason these two growth business and team work together, and we're always exactly where we ought to be. That's how Expand has developed in the last few years. So we might get a phone call. Hey, what you're saying is interesting. Would you come over and do a keynote address to our assembly? And or would you? We're interested into your resilience set of skills, would you come and tell us more about that? So we fly over and we do the talking, and we progress, and then people say, well, I would like you to help me grow into my next step. So then we start the executive coaching process. Sometimes we're just called in for the consultancy part. So we would basically listen to the client and look with them and provide with the diagnosis and come up with suggestions. But we find that that's not what brings the best results over time. We like to be there and help the real people grow. In Europe, for instance, we're very strongly into healthcare organizations. And so we grow their resilience and their ability to be future fit team by team. And we have teams of people who do this all over networks of healthcare organizations. So that's the kind of work we do, the perspective we have.
You know, it's very interesting to hear about your organization and what you do. We have a couple of minutes left. Briefly, tell me about a little bit about your background. How long have you been involved with Expand? You are the newest member of the group of countries. Canada is. What did you do prior to this? What was your background?
I've been a lawyer for 28 years, so that allows me to have some focus. You know, I can focus on issues and problems very easily. My basic training is philosophy. I wrote a master's thesis, so that allows me to zoom in and zoom out in issues, to get very deep into details and then pull out and have the widest possible view. But what made me is basically my experience. So I was involved, of course, with strength training that I had in all sorts of boards of all kinds, Chamber of Commerce, Ethics Research Boards. I presided over professional boards, the Bar Association, church boards, industry boards. So leading in
I get the picture. I understand. That's pretty fascinating. It's ideal that you're suited for this. Why do you think you're good at this? Because I think you are good. Why do you think so?
Well, working with people, you know, there comes a time when in someone's life, when you reach to another level, your relational skills go up. And so all of what I did actually prepared me to bring all of this wealth to helping others. So that's why I think I have some talent in doing this, to relate to people and find with them, identify what's their next step in growing, and you know, find the way to get there. It's a relational skill essentially.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, Jean-Francois Morin, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. I know Expand is growing. It's a great idea and a really, truly unique organization, amazing organization, especially how you're spread out in so many countries around the world. I want to point out you have a great website. If somebody is interested in Canada or wherever you might be, the website is simply expand.eu. That's expand.eu. There you can learn all about the various things that Expand does in the various countries, and of course the contacts on how to get in touch with Jean-Francois Morin in Quebec are there on the website. Sir, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Interesting, and continued good luck to you, and happy holidays, okay?
Thank you so much, Doug, and the same to you and your family.
You are very welcome indeed. Thank you, sir. Enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed it, folks. Very interesting subject. Expand
at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
That's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time. Bye for now. Have a great day. Take care of yourself. Bye.